Hello and welcome to the Louise Fitzgerald podcast. This week is about being a fly on the wall to people's relationships, and I've got to do that, which is kind of been interesting and helpful. So how I've been able to do this is through my one-on-one sessions. And when I do those sessions, people can come and ask different questions and we work through whatever it is that they want to work through. And so often there's an intersection of their goals and what they want to do and the relationships that they have in their lives. So sometimes one of the goals is directly related to a relationship. And then sometimes it might be a career goal, but there's a relationship there as well. So one of the things that I'd say I'm very good at is when I do those sessions, reading the energy of other people. So for reference, I will only see what I'm able to see. So if someone wasn't there with us, and let's say their soul or higher self didn't want that information to be known to the person that I was reading for, I wouldn't be able to see it. So just in case you're curious about that, I certainly never, I'm so aware of people's privacy and my ability to kind of tap into things, but where there's that permission. So I just wanted to call that out because I'm certainly not spying on anyone, but the information is usually that's provided is in relation to that person that I'm reading for. So that information is helpful to them. But anyway, that's not what I was going to talk about. What I wanted to talk about is this great ability that I've been able to witness other people's relationships. So relationships, romantic, family, friends, career, whatever it is, I've been able to witness dynamics, and I've had, it's almost like people were coming for couples counseling. I'll just speak to romantic relationships because it's just kind of easier to explain it. It's almost like people are coming for couples counseling, but the other person isn't turning up, but we're able to tap into their energy and understand their side of the story. Now, the difference between this and couples counseling, other than obviously that part, is that usually what happens in those situations is you've got one person telling their side of the story and their perspective. They've got their own perspective on how they're operating, and then they've usually got their perspective as to where the other person's coming from. So the cool thing that I can do is actually tap into the reality of what's going on. And it's like so very rarely what the person that I'm reading for thinks it is. And so I wanted to talk about that today because I find that so interesting that when we're in relation to people, we have our own lens that we see things through, and then often that's overlaid in the feedback that we get. So when someone's acting a certain way, we're seeing it through our own eyes. And so we're thinking that they are doing things for a certain reason, saying things and they mean this, but it so very often isn't the case. And I think that a little while ago, I posted something to Instagram about we all want to be understood. We seek to be understood, but we so very rarely seek to understand. And it's so difficult to do because the way that we're wired, we very much are obviously seeing the world through our eyes. And, in another episode, I was talking about being, you know, how we often feel that we're the star of our own movie, and which is great for some things like confidence and all of those kinds of things and setting goals and creating a life you want to live. But in other ways, it can be our detriment when we're in relation to others, and we are all in relation to others. So I think it's so important sometimes to be able to flip the switch and kind of see where someone else might be coming from. So some key tips that I have got through being able to do this is understanding relationship language and understanding love languages. And this can 100% apply to things outside of a romantic relationship. So understanding where the how the people in your life want to receive love. So this could be a work colleague of yours, and the way that they want to know that they're doing a good job is to hear it. They want words of affirmation. Now, obviously, you're not going to get into a physical touch relationship with your work colleagues, but you know, you can overlay these things and understand, like, I'm using love languages, but it's really understanding, like, how does this person need to feel needed and heard and all of those kind of things? Because I really see this to be kind of the major issue with a lot of people. And again, it's not just romantic relationships. It's like, how do people want their friendship to look? How do they want their romantic relationship to look? What do family members need from each other? And making small tweaks, to use words of affirmation as an example, you could just say, hey, you've done a really good job, or I think that you're a really great parent, or, you know, thanks for being such an amazing sister or brother. Like, that would be examples where that might not be your love language, but you can certainly give it to other people. The thing that comes up, I think, is this miscommunication where people are fighting, and it's usually because of this. Like, their needs aren't being met, but so many people aren't really good at articulating it. Even if you can just have a discussion one time even, and maybe you can go online and do the quiz, by the way, for the love languages as an example. But I think if you did that one time, that gives you enough insight to then, like, zoom out from these situations and go, I know that they're complaining about, you know, you don't help me with the dishes, but I know that their love language is acts of service. So what they're hearing in that situation is, you don't love me because you won't help with the dishes. So what I'm trying to say is that so very often what people are fighting and arguing and complaining about, and what they're even saying the argument is about, is so very rarely that. It usually is something else. And that's really important to understand. And then the other thing is shifting how you communicate with people. Because one of the other things that I've noticed when I'm doing a session with someone and I'm reading someone that's not in the room, what comes up, and it primarily, I would say, is men. So I'm speaking about heteronormative situations here just because that's primarily been my experience with reading these situations, is that the men in the situation have a very hard time communicating. That's quite common. And the other thing is that the way that they need to be communicated with is also key. But this works both ways as well. So, for example, like, a partner could need space and quiet, and the person that I'm having the session with interprets that as something's wrong, they're angry at me, but they might actually need space. So it's important to understand that too. How do we need love, and I'm using that term very broadly, but what do we need in relationship to other people? But then also, what's our communication styles? Because again, when I read the other person that's not in the room with us, what they think they're thinking is not what they're thinking, and how they need to be communicated with is sorry, that's my cat. He's had dinner, but obviously wants more. And then, yeah, the how to communicate, I think, is so key, because those things are generally not matched up with us. If I want to zoom out and I want to talk about soul contracts and soul families, like you can almost guarantee you're going to be matched with someone that is like the opposite in those ways, because it brings us out and it gives us that ability to grow. But it does obviously make life more difficult, because growth is generally difficult. So that's where you might come up against your opposite in the relationships that you have with other people. So I guess, you know, it's always been really helpful for me to see that, because I think we can be hurt, we can feel confused, we can want to fix things, but we don't know how. And so if I do have any tips to take away from this, you know, being a fly on the wall, they would be, if at the very least you can't have a conversation every single time about what's going on, I would just try and understand what the people that I'm in relationship with, how do they need to be loved, so heard and felt and seen? What does it look like? And start practicing that. And then also, what's your communication style? What's your communication style when you're stressed as well? That's a really great one to understand. Because then in the heat of these moments, in these arguments, in these things that arise, if you have that framework, you can then reverse engineer it and at least have a little bit of an inkling as to what is going on. That's about it. That's my chair making noise, probably indicating that that is the end of the episode. It's an evening episode that I'm recording today. And so you can even hear that my voice sounds tired. So I hope I'm not getting sick. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and maybe share it with someone that you want to work on this with. Perhaps you can use it as a way to say, you know what, this would be a really great idea if we just sat down and did this quiz online, figured out what our love languages are, because communication totally is key, and it's, yeah, so hard to get inside people's heads, unless you're me and you're doing a session with someone. Unfortunately, I can really not use this in my own life. So it's not super helpful. So I have to also use these tips that I'm giving you and, do these quizzes and have these conversations with the people that I'm in relationship with. And, yeah, so I hope that helps. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And I'll chat to you on the next episode.